Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
You're in the Freedom Hut. Thanks for listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Get the latest from Buck at BuckSexton.com.
Team Buck, welcome to the Freedom Hut. BLM put out a statement in support of the thuggish communist Cuban regime. Were there double-counted ballots in Georgia? The Democrats won a budget bill with $4.1 trillion in new spending altogether. Are they also trying to ramp through an amnesty? You know, that and more coming up here in just a moment. But first, my friends, you have got to hook yourself up with a MyPillow or just all the MyPillow products out there. I know Mike Lindell well. He's a great guy. He's the inventor of MyPillow. And his team has sent me up with MyPillows for my bed, plus the MyPillow mattress topper, the Giza Dream sheets, which are amazing, the MyPillow slippers, which are super comfortable, and the best towels I've ever had, the most soft and absorbent MyPillow, my towels, called my towels. You've got to get these products for yourself. I mean, this is what my whole house is outfitted with MyPillow products now, because they're just the best. And plus, listeners like you have been supporting Mike through the cancel culture left's insanity. They've gone after Mike. They've gotten his products taken from stores. What can you as a conservative do right now? How about get a great product from an all-American company built by an American patriot entrepreneur, Mike Lindell, and show the cancel culture left that companies that stand with conservatives and conservative shows like this one deserve your support, and we will not bend the knee. Hook it up today. Go to MyPillow.com. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products there. Click on Radio Listener Specials. You'll see rotational offers of up to 66% off on products like their pillows, mattress topper, and the Giza sheets, but also new products like their slippers, weighted blankets, robes, waffle blankets, and more. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Enter promo code BUCK Remember, it's promo code Buck when you go to MyPillow.com. Promo code Buck for these incredible radio specials. These are the products you need to have at home. I've been telling you that they're commies for a long time. Now, I don't mean the people that run Cuba. That's obvious. I mean the BLM organizers, Black Lives Matter. It's a Marxist communist organization. It seeks to divide us. It seeks to highlight, exaggerate, and exacerbate that which divides us from each other. And it's just too much, right? We see this going on, and it is driving people like me up the wall. I'm just, why does corporate America support BLM? Why do all these different Democrats not just bend the knee to, but celebrate BLM when their foundational philosophy is not of making America a fantastic place, dare I say, making America great. It's that they want to tear this place apart, replace our foundations with something else, and destroy American unity in the process. Black Lives Matter put out this statement about the Cuba situation. So if you want to know where their ideological sympathies really lie, you got to see this. Black Lives Matter condemns the U.S. federal government's inhumane treatment of Cubans and urges it to immediately lift the economic embargo. This cruel and inhumane policy, instituted with the explicit intention of destabilizing the country and undermining Cubans' right to choose their own government, is at the heart of Cuba's current crisis. Since 1962, the United States has forced pain and suffering on the people of Cuba by cutting off food, medicine, and supplies, costing the tiny island nation an estimated $130 billion. Without that money, it is harder for Cuba to acquire medical equipment needed to develop its own COVID-19 vaccines and equipment for food production. Cuba, it keeps going on and on and on. Cuba has historically demonstrated solidarity with oppressed peoples. Now we look to President Biden to end the embargo, something that Barack Obama called for in 2016. The embargo is a blatant human rights violation, must come to an end. The Cuban government is shooting, arresting, bludgeoning people in the street for protesting. And Black Lives Matter is putting out a statement blaming the United States government for the problems of Cuba. I mean, at some point, you just have to understand that you're dealing with people who have no principles, no common sense, and no decency. And that's certainly the case with the BLM position on Cuba. I mean, this is appalling. People should be outraged that any organization would put something like this out there. But this is what I've been saying all along. We have a Marxist uprising within the Democrat Party that's been going on for a long time. The Marxists are ascendant, true Marxists. And the suffering of the Cuban people is just simply not something that they are overly, shall we say, concerned about. I don't think they're really concerned at all. I don't think it really matters to them. And I am appalled that so many American institutions went along with this, went along with BLM and supported it. But this is where we are. Another thing that's coming to mind right now is just how the speech that was given by Biden earlier in this week was completely off the wall crazy. And I'm going to tie this all together with the pandemic in a second. But here's Senator Mitch McConnell. Play one.
Yesterday, the President of the United States delivered a speech that was set in an alternate universe. He called these mainstream state laws, these modest integrity measures that are wildly popular with Americans, quote, now listen to this, the most significant test of our democracy since the Civil War? Really? This is our new president who promised to lower the temperature, bring America back together and rebuild a civil society where we can dialogue as fellow citizens. That's the person who's now yelling that mainstream state laws are more dangerous than two world wars, more dangerous than poll test and Bull Connor and actual Jim Crow segregation, and somehow analogous to the Civil War. That's what the President of the United States said yesterday. What utter nonsense. It would be laugh out loud funny if it wasn't so completely and totally irresponsible.
It was absolute bullcrap. I mean, at a crazy level, the Biden speech. But this is how I think it ties in at some level to the pandemic. And this is how I think it's we need to understand what we're really dealing with these Democrats. This pandemic has shown us that there are a lot of Democrats who are deeply mentally unstable. And over the course of the 4 years of the Trump presidency, they were conditioned to believe in whatever great enemy the Democrat apparatus tells them they have. So that was something that they were being told, right? That it was Donald Trump, Russia collusion. And so now they have this need to believe that there is an existential and imminent threat. And the only way to combat it is to do exactly what their Democrat overlords tell them. And that's where this Jim Crow 2.0, worst challenge since the Civil War, comes in. And also after COVID, right, people have gotten so riddled with anxiety because they believe the Democrat narrative, which wasn't that the COVID, remember, was not the primary threat for Democrats in 2020. Trump's handling of COVID was the primary threat as far as Democrats were concerned in 2020. And so now you have people who are really at some level just psychologically and emotionally broken. And I mean millions and millions of them. They're Democrats. And they need to be told what the next great enemy is. It's not China. It's not some foreign external enemy. It's not people that want to destroy the United States, take us over, enslave us. None of that. No, the real enemy, of course, comes from within. Democrats don't actually have external enemies. External enemies are always just an opportunity for an alliance against Republicans. So every external enemy to the United States, Russia, China, Iran, you name it, is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to pick up an ally to bludgeon the primary adversary of the leftist Marxist in America, the right conservatives, people like you and me. And that's how you end up having Joy Reid over at MSNBC, who is just leading the charge on the most crazy stuff you can possibly say about the GOP. Play four.
What is happening to the Republican Party? Our country, our democracy is currently under siege by one of our two major political parties, one controlled by a twice impeached one-term president who's more Jim Jones than George Washington. A party that, thanks to Donald Trump's rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, white grievance, and an unquenchable thirst for absolute power, embraces causes that were once viewed as fringe. Things like abortion bounty hunting, now the law in Texas, banning books, or really any idea that doesn't render every single white American in history going all the way back to 1619 and right up to today as innocent and benevolent. Even as a noose literally hung outside the U.S. Capitol just 6 months ago. Okay, it's a party that's committed to turning.
Enough. I mean, does anyone try to ban books that say that that say anything bad about any white person throughout history? I mean, this is idiocy. But she's got about a million people watching that show, maybe more. They believe it. They think it's true. They think that everybody who doesn't buy into that is a bad person. They think that anybody who's not on board for this is a major threat to the Republic. And they think in those terms, too. They think in terms of threat. You know what the real threat is these days, folks? She said, oh, the country's under siege. Really? We're under siege from Republicans? What have we been doing lately? I mean, not enough, if you ask me, but what have we been doing? No, the real threat we're under right now, if we're looking at something that's serious, is, well, other than a Marxist authoritarian takeover of our entire society and government by the lunatics that are calling themselves Democrats for now, other than that, you have inflation, which is a very serious concern. And I know the word inflation, it sounds like what you do for your bicycle tire, right? It's just not that, it's not visceral, it's not scary. Inflation is so destructive to the economy. Inflation steals your peace of mind, steals your wages, steals your ability to provide for yourself and your family comfortably. And here's what the Fed Chair Jerome Powell was saying about it. Play three.
First of all, you're right. The incoming inflation data have been higher than expected and hoped for, but they're actually still consistent with what we've been talking about. The very high inflation readings are coming from a small group of goods and services that are directly tied to the reopening of the economy. It's new cars, used cars, rental cars, hotel rooms, airplane tickets, things that we understand how to connect.
With all due respect, Chairman Powell, I mean, it's housing, it's appliances, it's food prices, it's electricity, it's gas. Tell me, to what extent is the Federal Reserve willing to see consumer prices increase before intervention is necessary?
We are monitoring the situation very carefully, and we are committed to price stability. And if we were to see that inflation were remaining high and remaining materially higher above our target for a period of time, and that it was threatening to uproot inflation expectations and create a risk of a longer period of inflation, then we would absolutely change our policy as appropriate.
Yeah. They're watching it. Nothing to worry about. They're watching it. Sure. Yeah. When you're talking about just the reopen things and it's gas, food, shelter, that's pretty important inflation. It's pretty important. Wood, you know, lumber for building homes. This is what happens when you have a government apparatus that thinks that it can spend whatever it wants to spend. And that is the belief. Even crazy Bernie Sanders is running around saying that inflation's a problem. But his answer to inflation is to tax you up the wazoo. Play 11.
Well, I am concerned about inflation, among many other things. As I think you know, this bill, this $3.5 trillion, and then there's another $600 billion in a so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill, will pay for itself. It'll be paid for in a variety of ways, but significantly by higher taxes on the wealthy and large corporations. So that should not add to the inflation concerns.
We're just going to tax them a lot. We're going to take all the taxes, and it's not going to be a problem for the working class. The oligarchs will pay for it. This is what you're told. It's not true, but who cares? You know what else you're told? That making a few percent a year with a financial advisor who's also taking a cut on top of that is necessary if you want to make any money in the markets. That's just not true. All you need is carnivore trading, okay? Because everyday folks like you are crushing it there. They call them carnivores. They're getting after it. Even when the market's tough, carnivore trading allows you to make great returns. It's an anonymous team of elite strategists. They're legends among Wall Street heavy hitters, and they've gone rogue. For the first time, they're inviting everyday folks, just like you and me, to see and mirror their explosive trades. Sound too good to be true? Carnivore will let you see the trades they're making right now for 2 weeks free. Go to GetOurTrades.com and use promo code BUCK for 2 free weeks. And if you join, you'll get Carnivore's industry-leading promise. You'll generate 3 times your fees after your annual paid subscription, or you'll get a 100% refund. Go to GetOurTrades.com, promo code BUCK. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code BUCK. See website for guaranteed terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings. All right, joining us now is Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Senator, great to have you back.
I am delighted to join you. Thank you.
What should we be doing right now, and what should the administration notably be doing about the situation unfolding in Cuba?
Well, first of all, the American people need to know, and the administration needs to come out and say, look, this is a fight for freedom. These are people that have been under a dictator for 62 years, and they have no food, no water, no electricity, no jobs, and they want their freedom. And we're going to stand with the people of Cuba. And by the way, to the Cuban president, we're going to continue sanctions. We're going to sanction bad actors. And if you start firing shots into these crowds, all options will be on the table.
Are you surprised at the Biden administration's, shall we say, lack of decisiveness? I mean, is there any pressure, you think, on this White House that may get them to move with a little more clarity?
I talk to Tennesseans every day, but they are so frustrated with this administration. They thought they were going to have somebody who was a moderate, who was going to stand up to bad actors around the globe. And what they have seen is someone who seems to enjoy putting in place issues and policies that divide, that diminish our freedoms. And there's a lot of buyer's remorse out there. So therefore, I am not surprised that they have been so hesitant. You know, look at their policies. They've had a choice time and again to either say America first or America last. And what they do is they make decisions that put America last. But look at it in relation to the Chinese Communist Party. They've made decisions about not finding out about the origins of COVID-19, not holding U.S. companies to account that are doing business in China, companies like Nike and Apple and the NBA. They have had the opportunity to be firm against Iran, but instead, what are they doing? They're saying, well, let's talk about maybe going back into the Iran nuclear deal. And when it comes to Cuba, they are not saying we are against the Cuban Communist Party and this regime, and they need to come out and do that.
We're speaking to Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Senator, I wanted to get you to help everyone understand here what's going on with this budget bill that the Democrats want to push through. $4.1 trillion in new spending is the figure that we are seeing. What's going on here? I mean, I have a few questions to ask you about this, but first off, will they be able, with only Democrat votes, they can get this through? Is that correct?
Yes, they're going to try to push this $3.5 trillion of new unpaid for spending through. Now, they're trying to say, well, a lot of it has to do with infrastructure, but bear in mind, the president and a bipartisan group had decided that they could do infrastructure separately, and then this would be $3.5 trillion in new spending on top of all of this. And we've got about $700 billion left over in COVID money that has not been reappropriated, that has not been utilized, that could be utilized. But, oh, no, they don't want to do that. They want to run up the debt and then put future generations in servitude to the federal government to pay off this debt.
So what would it mean for them to use reconciliation? I mean, that's the part of this, I think, the public, we hear, okay, there's what can be blocked with the filibuster, but a budgetary measure can't be blocked by the filibuster, and then a budgetary measure can have reconciliation. I mean, how much can they just ram this through without Republicans being able to stop?
Well, here's where the dividing line is. They cannot put new federal law in place through a budget reconciliation component. So that is why you're seeing some things have to stand alone and get a vote. When it comes to appropriating money to pay for programs that are already on the books, then, of course, they can do that through budget reconciliation. What we're trying to do is to remind all hardworking taxpayers out there, you need to be weighing in with your members of the House and Senate. You need to let them know this is not okay and that you are not going to be supportive of this. They need to hear from you because we've got the 2022 midterms coming up, and they are all looking over their shoulder to see who is paying attention.
What's in, I know it's, I'm sure, with $3.5 trillion and then additional infrastructure spending, right? That's the way people are reporting on it. What are some of the key things, Senator Blackburn, that are in this that people should? Because I see things about a lot of climate change, Green New Deal kind of stuff. I mean, right. Where is this money supposed to go?
Yeah, and here's the thing. They backed out anything to do with roads, bridges, highways, railways, runways, and broadband. All of that would be over in the $1.2 trillion bipartisan bill. And I think you've got about 8 Republicans and 2 or 3 Democrats that are for that measure, working on that measure. So that's $1.2 trillion. This $3.5 trillion that they're saying would add to infrastructure, you're exactly right. It's money for the Green New Deal. It is money to grow the unions. It is money for green energy. It is money for child care and for elder care. They're now calling all of that infrastructure. But it is not what you think of as roads, bridges, highways, railways, waterways, runways, and broadband.
What would a reasonable, I mean, to your mind, and taking into account that we're at over $28 trillion in debt and there are concerns about inflation, as you mentioned, this is really taking money and making it so that future generations of Americans will have to deal with the financial burden here. What would a reasonable bill look like?
A reasonable bill would be what we passed out of the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, which was surface transportation, and it was about $350 billion. Now, that is addressing the needs that people tell us they want to see addressed.
$350 billion versus $3.5 trillion. There's definitely a...
Got it.
Definitely
That's
a gap
exactly
there.
Right.
Senator Blackburn, we're telling everybody, call in, tell your congressman, tell your senator, this is too much, too crazy. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, always appreciate you stopping by with us. Thank you so much.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
More political insights coming up here from our friend, Mr. Ryan Gerdusky. He is the author of They're Not Listening, How the Elites Created a National Populist Revolution. And he is a political consultant, man who knows some things about some stuff. Ryan, great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we just had Senator Marsha Blackburn on today talking about the budget bill and what Democrats are trying to do here. I mean, they Republicans said, OK, infrastructure, let's spend $350 billion on infrastructure, which sounds like a lot of money to me. But what do I know? Democrats want the $3.5 trillion plus. Then I think it's $600 billion on top of it for additional infrastructure or something. It's a crazy amount of money. That's
right.
That's built into it. But tell me about how amnesty comes into this equation.
So it was announced just yesterday that
Senator Joe Manchin was going to go forward with an amnesty bill that would give amnesty basically to 6 million plus illegal aliens. They include DACA recipients, farm workers, quote-unquote essential service workers, that includes any restaurant worker as an essential service worker, and anyone who's lost their job from COVID-19. It's going to be a massive behemoth of an amnesty bill snuck inside the budget, which has never, ever, ever even been attempted before, let alone done. And the budget bill, mind you, is only 51 votes to pass, 50 Democrats plus Kamala Harris. That's what they're looking at, and it will be a massive 6 million plus person amnesty if they get this through.
Wait, but how could that be? Because when we spoke to the senator, I said, okay, they can basically the power of the purse, right, whether they're spending a dollar or $1 trillion, Senate gets to determine that. And that can be done through through a simple majority vote or even through the budget reconciliation process when they kind of go in the back end and address it, whatever that means. How can they do amnesty? Because, you know, amnesty is not we're spending more money on it's base. It's changing U.S. federal law. Right. So how does that work right in?
So the way that they're doing is they're sitting there and saying that the budget will this budget will increase welfare recipients. So therefore, it will increase the budget of the United States. And therefore, it is a budget bill. That is the reasoning that they're going to give to the parliamentarian. I spoke to people from Senator Tom Cotton's office yesterday about this, that their reasoning is this will increase the budget because it will increase welfare spending because there'll be a lot of new immigrants that will be qualifying for welfare, and therefore it is part of the budget bill. There's several hurdles they still have to get through. This is not like a done deal yet. Joe Manchin was a very big hurdle, and him getting on board is not a good sign. They still have to get Kyrsten Sinema, who is the most independent person probably in the U.S. Senate, and she does basically whatever she wants. Then there is also the Senate parliamentarian who can sit there and say that this is not allowed in the budget bill. The Senate parliamentarian was the one who also ruled that you can't increase minimum wage in the budget bill. So she may be a very difficult hurdle to sit there and to cross. Third, you have the House Democrats. The House Democrats can only lose 4 votes to get this amnesty through. So 4 House Democrats and vulnerable seats sit there and split on this. Then that kills the bill. And lastly, I mean, you have public pressure, I think, from moderate Democrats, Mark Kelly, who's up for this election. You have the election in New Hampshire. There's a handful of senators who will be vulnerable in the upcoming 2022 midterms that may be inclined to maybe flinch on this.
So, Ryan, is the overall spending something that is anyone really going to care? Does it matter? You know, because I remember when Obama was spending $1 trillion for not the bank bailouts, but for TARP, right? Trump. Oh, no. It was the stimulus. Not TARP, yeah. But stimulus. And everyone was saying, oh, my gosh, that's a lot of money. I mean, now we just spent $6 trillion last year because of COVID. Right. $6 trillion was the total federal outlay for 2020. Now we're talking about a $4.1 trillion or 3.5 is the number I see. But then there's, I believe, additional $600 billion of infrastructure on top of that, whatever. So between $3 and $4 trillion of spending, do people care? I mean, does this move the needle?
Well, I mean, I think people do care. I mean, they do care, but there's a certain population that does generally care about deficit spending and the debt and blowing up the debt. And that is the case. However, more people are going to care about inflation. I think this is where this really hurts them. I think that inflation is where they'll be worried about the spending, because we're just literally doling out money, spending huge quantities of it, and inflation is soaring. I think that will definitely affect lower income people. And then there's a handful of people in this country that still believe in democratic norms, that still believe that you shouldn't sit there and have one party try to rush something through with the bare minimum votes. And those moderates who cared so much about, they clutched their pearls for Trump every time Trump was, quote unquote, breaking democratic norms, that will care about Democrats sitting there and having a complete power grab on their own with just 50 votes in a way that's never done before, that will affect this country forever. You know, it's worth saying, a country can get back from a losing war or from a bad economy or from a bad president. They can never change an amnesty. This is it forever. A 6 million person amnesty, that could flip Texas. And Democrats know it, and that's why they're so hungry to sit there and do this any which way they can, because they think that this will be, you know, the end. This will be them in power forever.
I mean, the parliamentarian, it sounds like, has a tremendous amount of power in this situation, given what Democrats are trying to do, which makes me worry that they're going to use all of the pressure they can, you know, above and below ground, so to speak, to get this person to budge. I mean, am I missing something? Is the parliamentarian?
Yeah, but the parliamentarian. Like I spoke to two parliamentarians. So one who told me that this is absolutely not allowed in the rules. A former parliamentarian said this is absolutely not allowed in the rules. A second one who is a counsel of the parliamentarian who said it's a 50-50 chance because there is some precedent in a 2005 budget bill about something small on immigration. It wasn't anything close to this. The current parliamentarian is pretty down the line, and she's pretty. She doesn't really waver a lot. She was the one who made sure Democrats couldn't pass a minimum wage hike in the last budget. She said that that's not allowed. And if a minimum wage hike doesn't affect spending, I have a very hard time seeing how amnesty does.
So you think unlikely but not impossible, and Democrats?
It's not impossible. There's four major hurdles to sit there and through. If you live in Arizona, you should call Kristen Sinema and Mark Kelly. If you live in any swing district in the House, you need four House Democrats to have at least enough concern not to want amnesty in this bill, in this way. And the most deceiving part about Joe Manchin is that he's the one who's getting so much praises. I'm going to save the filibuster, and I believe in the Senate. But this is basically a way to get rid of the filibuster without getting rid of the filibuster.
Yeah, this is he wants the praise of being the maverick who supports the Senate institution of the filibuster while giving the Democrat hard left exactly, and honestly just the Democrat Party generally, exactly what they want without the votes that it otherwise need to do. That's very. Is there anything else that people should be aware of that is involved in this budget process that, you know, they're basically trying to hide or hoping no one pays attention to?
There's Green New Deal parts of this budget. There's going to be efforts to expand Medicaid, to have pre-K, universal pre-K in this budget. They're going to try to shove every single Democratic wish list in this budget, basically except for H.R. 1, as they've already said that that's not allowed in the budget, the voting bill. But everything else in this budget will be shoved in there, you know, come hell or high water. And it's just and Manchin's not going to go along with many parts of it, and many other moderate Democrats are not going to go along with other large parts of it. It's a lot of messaging in this bill, but they will find out whatever they can get and whatever they can push through and keep with the absolute bare minimum. I mean, remember, it's only four House Democrats, either of the far left or of the moderates, who have to sway to sit there and break from this.
Why do you think we're speaking to Ryan Gradusky, author of They're Not Listening, How the Elites Created a National Populist Revolution. Ryan, why do you think we got so much from the Democrats this week about Jim Crow 2.0, Texas voting rights law, the people leaving to go to D.C., the Texas state house Democrats? Is this just all? Is it just all theatrics to raise money, or is there a bigger strategy involved? It
because
felt like
they have to. There's an old saying: if God didn't exist, we'd have to create him. Donald Trump doesn't exist in the public eye, so they have to create the next race baiting, scaring of minorities and Cabernet Antifa wine moms in the suburbs. So that has to, first it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, then it was Matt Gaetz. Now it's Texas Republicans trying to get, you know, voter ID laws. It was Georgia Republicans trying to get voter ID laws. There has to always be a case where Republicans are 5 seconds away from reinstituting slavery in their minds. So that's kind of just why it's literally meaningless. I mean, it's a small state law in one state that has minimal changes, really, when you think of it. This is not the be all end all changing of the bill. So of the election law. So I just think that it's smoke and mirrors to raise money and keep anxieties going to keep Democrats engaged.
And how long do you think we're going to have to wait to see what actually happens with this budget bill? By the way, I meant to.
We have some time. I mean, it's not going to be done. They don't have a text yet. So first, they have to institute the text, and then the parliamentarian will have to waive what parts of the text are not allowed to be in the budget. So that has to happen first, and they don't have a text of the budget yet. If they do it very sloppily, there'll be more that she can sit there and peel. So I think it will be some time. So if you have time and you live in West Virginia or Arizona, call your senators. If you live in swing house seats, call your congressmen and tell them don't have an amnesty through the budget.
Meaning we got a couple of weeks here?
Yes, you have a couple of weeks for sure.
And, you know, Ryan, I also wanted to, because I know you've been following the election stuff very closely, the 2020 election stuff. I'm hearing from people who have been straight shooters. I'm not hearing from the what was his name? Who was the guy who was in Richard Jewell, that lawyer? You know what I'm talking about? That guy.
Oh, Lynn Wood.
Yeah. I'm not talking like Lynn Wood stuff. I'm hearing from people that are serious people that some funky stuff happened in Georgia with ballots and that they have proof it's real. And, you know, maybe it was accidental. Maybe it wasn't systematic because there were some double counts for Trump as well as double counts for Biden. But have you seen any of this? Does this wash?
I went to Georgia and I went there for the runoffs. And I have to tell you, it was the biggest disaster I've ever seen before in my entire life. From election board to the state Republican Party, it was like the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. There was no safe place to rest your eyes. I would not doubt if there was some problems going on in Georgia. It would not shock me in the slightest. I don't have any proof of it. I don't have any evidence of it. All I'm saying is I would not be shocked. I'm hearing the same thing in Arizona. So, I mean, wait and see. I doubt, you know, Trump is going to be reinstated from it or anything like that. I don't think that's going to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were some overcounts or some undercounts or something was going wrong.
Yeah, because there's like a ferocity from the Democrats about even the most straightforward recount or checking of what happened in these places. I mean, they lose their minds at the very notion of like looking at what went down.
Right. And I mean, the bigger problem in Georgia is they broke. I mean, not those Democrats, those Republicans left to do it. They broke the state election law in order to hold this election. The state election law says if you want to promote absentee ballot, there has to be two witnesses, one official Democrat, one official Republican, and only you can hand in your own ballot. That's the state law. It was like that before 2020. And the Secretary of State, Raffensperger, waived all of those laws. He allowed every county to put in as many drop boxes as they wanted to. Of course, the Democratic counties wanted to drop boxes as often as there was a mailbox. And so the state law was completely altered for the sake of this election. And that gave Democrats a huge, huge, huge advantage. But I don't know about the double counting. So I guess we'll wait and see about that. I wouldn't be surprised what comes out of Atlanta and Savannah, though.
Have they figured out, Ryan, last one for you, but have they figured out, the Republicans, that you have to actually challenge this stuff and get it squared away before the election, you think? Or are they more serious about it?
You know, I think before the election, I think there was one part arrogancy where, you know, the problem with a lot of southern states is their Republican parties believe they can never lose outside of Florida. And that's why they have a competent Republican party in Florida, because they actually try. Georgia, they don't. And most other southern states, they do not. Yes, I think now more than ever, because election integrity is probably one of the top three issues, or definitely the one of the top three issues for Republican voters. That's why they're making all these mass reforms, and now they're going to sit there and probably do something about it. Listen, Florida went from the biggest joke in the country in 2000 to the most efficient state with counting ballots in 20 years. I think all these other states can get their act together a lot faster and should.
Ryan Gerdusky, everybody. Ryan, always appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, at least one person really liked Joe Biden's reckless, dishonest, divisive, destructive speech. Somebody with expertise, I mean, true world-class expertise in just those things. Dividing, destroying, lying. Play clip six.
And I told the president this after the speech. I think he made one of a monumental speech for a president to stand there in the shadows of where they signed the Declaration of Independence and attack Jim Crow 21st century was something that I was not expecting. And I also thought the fact that he did not in any way, shape or form duck the racial aspect of what we're seeing in terms of the pushback by many states in coming with new restrictions.
What else do you need to know other than Al Sharpton liked the speech? I think that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about what Biden said earlier this week. All right. Well, thanks for being here today with me. Remember, subscribe if you're not already. Some of you might just listen as a one-off. Subscribe to the Buck Sexton podcast on the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. We are doing this show every day. Tomorrow, producer Mark and I are going to be doing some roll call and chatting about the weekend. So we'll have some fun there. And please also, if you haven't already, go on Apple Podcasts and give this podcast 5 stars and a review, hopefully where you say nice things. All right. Excited to be back with you tomorrow. Talk to you then, team. Shields high. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and build specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.